Good evening. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Welcome to the live webcast with Barry Adams in Canada and me in good old England. How are you doing, Barry? How's the week going?
Things are going well, my friend. And of course, you know, the older we get, the, you know, we talk about our health and our the weather, and I'm feeling okay, healthy today, and it's getting warmer. We're getting closer to spring.
It is getting closer to spring. Of course, you've changed your clocks. We will follow you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Beginning of April, we'll be back in track with the time difference as 5 hours, but for the next couple of weeks, it's 4 hours. And
well, that just means we're just that much closer.
We're a bit closer, absolutely. Yeah. And next week, Barry won't be with us because you're at the School of Ministry once again.
Yes, I'll be in Toronto at the Catch the Fire School of Ministry, which is somewhere where we just love going, and we'll be there for a week. So on Monday to Friday.
Very good. Yeah. So it'll just be me next Wednesday. Yeah. I was in Poland last week. We had a really, really good week at the school there. It went brilliantly. Quite a big school, a number of different nationalities represented, which was very exciting. Just a wonderful week of hearing people's stories and seeing what the Father's doing in their hearts, and just beautiful, real special encounter. Many encounters for many people during the week. So that was a really good time. Really enjoyed that. And I'm back in Poland, actually, Barry, in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks tomorrow, I go back again.
Oh, my goodness. You got to get a second home there or something.
Well, yeah, I know. It's kind of, it's becoming a bit like that.
So just because I know you mentioned before when we were talking about the school that there was quite a few different countries there. Like, is that, that's not quite the norm, is it, when you do schools in Poland?
It's not quite the norm. No, we've, one of the guys on the team's got contacts in all sorts of countries, and they just wanted to come to the school, which is great. So all kind of, let's just say, countries east of Poland.
Wow.
And southeast of Poland. Yeah, very, very interesting.
Wow.
And so we actually had I was interpreted into Polish, but we had another interpreter in the corner of the room, and she was translating for a group of people into another language. They had headphones on and she had a little microphone, and she did a brilliant job.
Wow.
She and actually, you know, I had three interpreters working for me through the week, but okay, this one lady, she had to do every session for this other language, so that was intense.
That is amazing.
And fortunately, she spoke English and Polish, so she was generally interpreting my English, but if she missed it, she could pick it up from my Polish interpreter. And then,
wow.
So it's kind of a mixture of simultaneous and slightly delayed interpretation, but it's great, fantastic. She did a really, really good job. But she was tired by the end of the week, as you can imagine.
I mean, it's big respect for interpreters. I don't understand how people can be listening, interpreting, speaking, and then actually, you know, oftentimes, you know, the English speaker starts before they're necessarily just finished their thought. And I go like, it's got to be a miracle for that to happen. At least for me, it would be.
Well, it would be a great miracle for me. And I mean, I always kind of think, well, I generally know what I'm going to say, you know, next, but the interpreter hasn't got a clue what I'm going to say next. So they're kind of on edge. But what always throws me sometimes is like, I say something and if they haven't quite, they maybe translate the first part of it, but they haven't got the whole sentence. They then stop and say, what did you say? Well, I'm on to my next thought and I can't remember what I've just said. I don't know if you have that problem, Barry. You probably don't, but
all the time.
But it was a great week. It went really well. Yeah,
that's
it was
awesome.
Good.
So what are you gonna do in 2 weeks then?
There's a church in quite a big church in a city called Kalisz. And they'd got a conference already arranged, a Father Heart conference. And unfortunately, the the speakers who were going to go were unable to go. So like about 2-3 weeks ago, they had to pull out. And so I was asked if I would go. And wow. So I said, yeah. So it's a Friday and Saturday and then Sunday morning in church, kind of weekend conference.
Amazing.
But if I've got the story right, it's a church that really has the Father's love as a foundation of what they do. But it's a church that invited Jack Frost and Jack Winter to come and do a conference years and years ago in Poland. And because my good friend Brian Hayes, who's now with the Lord, he'd been working in Poland for a number of years before that, and working with a number of churches, and he had a lot of contact with this church in Kalisz, and he, when he heard that they were having Jack Frost and Jack Winter, he thought he would go. So Brian went to that conference, and that's when he really had an encounter with the Father. Wow. For himself. And it was from that he then started doing the Father Heart Schools in Poland. Wow. In about 2010, 2011, and faithfully did them, you know, right up until the year before he passed away. So I kind of feel it's just going back to one of those places where there's a lot of history, you know, a lot, yeah, of relationship. And so I feel really privileged to be invited to go there, and really looking forward to it. So yeah, that's 2 weeks tomorrow I set sail again.
Wow, that's amazing. I do, you know, when you say that, I of course I think that is, it's kind of like revisiting a well, right?
Yeah.
And when you think of Jack Winter and Jack Frost together at you know, to me it's just they were kind of an amazing combination.
Yeah.
Just such foundational messages of this, and laid a foundation for this revelation in this generation.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just cheering you on, mate. That's great.
And you know, of course, Jack Frost and Jack Winter, very cold names, but yet bringing a message of great warmth and life and everything else. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping that my flight doesn't have any problems like the one when I went to Poland just over a week ago. Which,
yes,
was one of those. We got on a plane on time at Heathrow. We got on the plane, and you know, we're all ready to push back and have the safety briefing and all that stuff. And then the captain comes on. He said, "I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to be delayed for a few minutes." And came back a bit later on. I said, "Yeah, we've found out what the problem is." He said, one of the containers that they put in the hold with all of the suitcases in, when they were putting it on, it got damaged. And so they had to take this container off. And then the plan was take it off, unload the suitcases, get a new container, put the suitcases back on, put the new container on, and, you know, 10 minutes and we'll be off. But the problem was when they tried to take this container off, which had been damaged, it got stuck. And they couldn't move it. So they had to get the maintenance team with an angle grinder to cut this container up in situ, in the hold, and take it out piece by piece. And then put all of the suitcases back in the new one and put it on. It took 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
So instead of arriving in Warsaw, the flight was supposed to leave at 6:15 in the evening and get to Warsaw about 9:30. Their time is an hour time difference. We actually left Heathrow at 9:00 in the evening, and we got to Warsaw at 12:15, and I got to my hotel at 12:45 in the morning. The cabin crew said, you know, this is a first. They said, not only has this never happened for us, but we've never heard of it happening for anybody else.
Wow.
But we got there, and that was fine, and we had a good time. So next week, I'm hoping for, get to Heathrow, get on the plane, get there.
That's, well, I think if it happens again, since it's never happened before, and if you're on the plane, it might have something to do with you. I'm just saying.
But I didn't have any suitcases in the hold, Barry. I only had hand luggage.
Well, okay, that's a mystery.
So there we go. Anyway, that was the excitement of the flight and so on. So anyway, this evening, today, we're going to talk about the transforming power of love. So I'm going to kick off and then it's just going to be a discussion between the two of us, really. But Barry, would you like to just to pray for our time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bless you. Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. Father, we thank you that your love just has the power to continue to transform us from one degree of glory to the next.
Yeah.
And so, Baba, we ask even right now as we just take time away from our busy schedules just to sit for an hour and just ask that you would open up our spiritual ears to hear what your spirit wants to say to us. Open up our spiritual eyes to flood our hearts with light so that we could know the hope of our calling. And Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit that indwells us, that the revelation of your continual transformation in our lives would just go deeper than and wider and higher and longer than ever we thought possible. That we might be filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. And Father, I pray that as Mark shares and as we just simply discuss this, that there would just be a practical sense of how we each and every one of us can experience the love of God transforming us in our hearts, in our relationships, in our work, in our hopes, our dreams, in our ability to rest, in every area of our being, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'll see you in a minute.
All right. Okay, mate.
Great. Many of you may have heard me talk about this before, but one of my favorite movies is The Sound of Music. You know, I'm sure many of you will have watched it, but it's a love story. You know, there's the captain, Captain Von Trapp, and his seven children. And his first wife has died very tragically. And, you know, basically what happened when she died, the captain closed his heart. You know, grief, bereavement, loss. He closed his heart. And because he closed his heart, it had an effect on his seven children. And he started to rule them like a military officer rules his troops. You know, he had a whistle and he blew the whistle in a different sound and one of the children would respond, and it became very, very regimented. And in their big house, there was one room that no one could go into. And that was the dance room, the music room, where his first wife had loved to entertain and had music, and music was her life. But when she died, he closed the doors on that room and wouldn't let anybody go in. And then you've got Maria, the crazy little nun, who gets kicked out of the convent because she's so crazy. And she goes to be like the nanny or the childminder or whatever, to look after these seven kids. And the moment she comes into the house, she stops playing by the rules. She doesn't even start to play by the rules. The captain meets her at the door and says, "These are the rules of the house." Boom, 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 boom. And she just won't have it. And what she does is she begins to love those seven children. You know, and they've got a whole load of issues because their mum's died and their dad's closed his heart and all that stuff. And of course, it's only a movie, you know, it's only a film, but it's only a story. But in this story, we see her loving the children and the children's hearts begin to open. And of course, not only does she love the children, but, you know, she starts to fall in love with the captain and the captain starts to fall in love with her. And by the end of the story, you know, they get married and, you know, he's completely opened his heart again. The children are completely transformed. And, you know, what we see in that whole story is really how the power of love that this crazy little nun who creates chaos and havoc wherever she goes, what we see is how this love transforms broken hearts. And that's what love does. It transforms. It transforms lives. It transforms situations. It brings life where there's death. It brings light where there's darkness. And it brings change. And one of the joys last week of being in Poland was just sitting with people and hearing their stories. Probably about 25%, maybe 30% of the school participants had been on previous schools with us. And you just begin to see lives being transformed. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, of course, the encouragement I have for them is go on, you know, dig deeper, put your roots down deeper. You know, I think one of the things that was sometimes is a bit of a surprise to me is, you know, yeah, people have an experience of the love of the Father. They have an encounter with him. And their lives are changed, and yet somehow there's almost a slightly superficial relationship with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I do is I encourage people to put the roots of their life deep into love. You know, Paul writes about it in Ephesians 3, you know, that the height and the depths and the width and the length, may we be rooted and grounded in love. That we would get our life and our energy, you know, like the roots of our life would get life from the soil, being planted in the soil of love. And really that's an encouragement I give people a lot is, you know, go deeper, you know, put the roots of your life down deeper, you know, spend time with him, enjoy his presence, you know, actually be, you know, a bit more deliberate about spending time with the Father, asking the Holy Spirit to come to you, you know. And again, Jesus says he goes on revealing the Father, and having that relationship with Jesus as our elder brother, kind of like the guy who's just a few steps ahead of us, you know, it those are just things that can take us deeper and, you know, cause our relationship, because it's a relationship, cause our relationship to go deeper and deeper. And it's so encouraging to sit down with people and see the way that their lives are being transformed and hearing their stories. And yeah, people going through sometimes very difficult, painful situations, but yet knowing that they're being carried by their Father, knowing that they're being held in the arms of love, and actually seeing that that is making a difference to their lives, their families' lives, their, you know, their friends' lives, and so on. And, you know, so it's really, you know, as we kind of start this discussion this evening, today, it's really just kind of just to sort of say, you know, this is the reality of living a life loved. You know, as John writes in his letter, you know, God is love. We can know and we can rely on the love that God has for us, because it's a constant. It never changes. It's there for us 24/7, 365 days of the year. You know, it's there all the time. There's nothing that we can do that will take us outside of his love. There's nothing we can do that will stop him loving us. And so it really becomes the foundation for change. I know in my own story, my own life, you know, I remember we went to Toronto in 2002 to a conference called The Father Loves You. And, you know, I went there because one of the reasons I went there was I wanted God to change me. You know, I had a list of things I thought he wanted to deal with in my life. I'd actually written it on a piece of paper, tucked it in the back of my Bible, and said, you know, here I am. Here I am, God. This is your opportunity to sort out all this stuff in my life. And, you know, those of you who've heard my story, you know, I just felt as that week started, you know, him saying to me, I'm not interested. you know, I'm not interested in your list, Mark. And I was kind of like, well, what are you interested in? You know, I thought this is what you did. And the outcome of that story for me personally was he said, Mark, I want to baptize you in my love. And that's what that week was for me and for my wife. It was just an incredible encounter with the love of God. And I came home and I kind of forgot about my list for maybe 6 months or so. And then I found it again in the back of my Bible. And I looked at it and I thought, do you know what? Many of the things on that list have been dealt with. As I'd walked the pathway of love, as I'd lived in love, as I'd begun to put my roots deeper into love, those things have been dealt with. And, you know, that's obviously an ongoing story for all of us. You know, that we can sit on the sidelines or we can put our roots down deep into love. And I really want to encourage you to put your roots down deep into love, because that is the source of life that will transform us. You know, I tried to discipline myself and make myself live a better life. And yeah, I could do it for a day or two or maybe even a week or 3 weeks. But actually, permanent change comes by me deciding I'm going to put my roots down into love. I'm going to become rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to have a deeper relationship with the Father. I'm going to ask Jesus to reveal the Father to me. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to pour the Father's love into my heart, because that takes us deeper. And, you know, as we spend time with him and walk with him and journey life with him, it's that substance of relationship that begins to change us. And I'm just reminded of the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through to the end of the chapter, where, you know, Paul writes, let's pull out a few verses. If the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, you know, how much more, you know, will the ministry of the Spirit, you know, be even more glorious? The ministry that brought condemnation was glorious. How much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And that's what this ministry of living in love does. You know, it transforms us. And as we walk with him and as we allow our roots to go down deeper, it brings righteousness out of us, or it forms righteousness in us. And that's what, you know, Paul is saying, is that we are entering into something much more glorious. And Paul ends, he says, because we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. You know, their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. See, so there's something, you know, that Paul is talking about that is covered up. There's a glory that's covered up. But he goes on to say, and this is the important bit, is whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, that's what this journey we're talking about is all about. You know, this journey with the Father is a journey that leads us into greater freedom. And, you know, Paul says where the Spirit is, you know, if we live in the Spirit, if we allow the Spirit to be poured into our hearts, then it's a journey of freedom. And I hope many of us are experiencing that it's, you know, our hearts are freer today. I hope our hearts are freer today than they were a year ago or 5 years ago, because that's what this is all about. And you know, and Paul, the verse I really wanted to kind of draw attention to is this last one. You know, we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, some translations say from glory to glory. You know, it's like from one level of glory to another level of glory. And that's what this you know, when we live in love and when we allow love to be the source of our life, you know, judgment falls away, criticism falls away. I believe fear falls away. I believe fear is probably the biggest single hindrance to us moving forward into the life that God has for us. Because fear paralyzes and fear holds us back. And fear is, I think fear is the opposite to love. Because John writes in his letter, perfect love casts out all fear. See, when love comes, fear has to go. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you know that fear is something you struggle with, whatever that fear is, fear of the future, fear of health, fear for finances, fear for family, you know, is that fear is holding you back. That fear is restricting you. That fear is preventing you from entering the life, the freedom that the Father wants you to live in. And, you know, I believe the answer to that is to really be soaked in love and to really allow love to fill your heart. Because when love comes, fear has to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, they can't live together. They can't exist together. And coming back to this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we live in love, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. See, that's what love does. It can't help but transform. If you think of any relationship, you know, people, when you love genuinely, you know, your heart is changed. It's changed towards other people. It's changed towards circumstances. It's changed towards situations. And you know, you can feel like that weight is being lifted off. Now, many of us read this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And what our heart says, what our mind says is we are being transformed from one degree of misery to another degree of misery. And one day we might cross the line and there's a little bit of glory. You know, because we feel like we struggle and we carry the burdens of life and everything else. But actually this says we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another level of glory. So that means whatever's going on in your life at the moment, there is glory in your life as far as the Father is concerned. And he is transforming us to make us. Romans chapter 8 says we're being transformed into the likeness of his Son. See, this is what love does. It makes us more like Jesus. And John says in his first letter that, you know, if we live like this, we will begin to walk as Jesus walked. We will begin to live as Jesus lived. And so really, you know, I use that story of The Sound of Music as an illustration of how love changes people, how love unlocks closed hearts, how love brings healing, how love brings redemption, how love brings freedom. And I'm just going to bring Barry back on and we're going to unpack this a bit more together, because, you know, this is the journey that we're on, you know, and it is a journey of transformation. And, you know, sometimes we look at our lives and think, oh, I'm no different to yesterday. But actually look back a bit further and I bet you'll see the difference. Over to you, Barry.
Yeah, good word, mate. I say yes and amen to everything you said. One of the things that I've shared this story before, just real quickly, but it just really illustrates the point that you said, that perfect love casts out fear. And it was just in a season when I was feeling very vulnerable about our influence on the internet and, you know, feeling that, you know, people who could maybe oppose us. And I felt this fear would come in a way that was sometimes it was very debilitating. It was like I would actually hyperventilate sometimes. And knowing as somebody who, you know, declares the Father's love, I know what I'm supposed to do. I rebuke the fear and all that, resisted the devil, knowing he'll flee. And I would have temporary reprieve, but then the fear would come back, triggered by thoughts or whatever, about just feeling vulnerable, our family being vulnerable. And then just one day, you know, I'm talking to Anne about it. And again, this is going on for months. And then she just looked at me and she had enough of me battling this fear. And she just slapped me in the chest and she just said, leave that little boy alone And as soon as she did that, I had this vision. I went, like, again, I was still in my body, but I just saw this picture of me being a little boy on a playground, probably a 2-year-old little boy. And this fear was being presented with this big biker dude, probably 300 to 400 pound guy, you know, unshaven and chains and tattoos and scars and a leather jacket. And he was just screaming at me, and I was just kind of cowered over. But in the vision, I saw my father come onto the playground. Yeah. And then my Heavenly Father. And it was like I felt this ferocious protective love for me that it just was just absolutely amazing. And when fear saw God come to my rescue, it was like fear got consumed with fear and it exploded. And it never, that fearful thought, even though nothing changed in our circumstances, it never bothered me again. Wow. And I experienced the perfect love of God driving out fear. And as Mark said, I would just encourage you in anything that we're struggling with, you know, that we don't have to battle fear. We don't have to intellectually go into some kind of wrestling with it, but we can just invite love to come. Yeah. Just say, Father, would you just come with your love? And would your love deal with that fear that's debilitating, or whatever the anxiety or the stress or feeling overwhelmed? And I just encourage you, even when we transition into prayer ministry today, that you would just be able to say, Father, I'm tired of fighting my own battles, and I just want fear to leave by the indwelling of love. And as you said, that love does not cohabit with fear. Love does not negotiate with fear. And the word there, the Greek word for casting out fear, is the same Greek word where Jesus cast out devils.
Yeah.
It's not a quiet, meek little suggestion that fear leaves. It is a powerful expelling of fear from our lives. And Mark, I'll just say this, and of course, the thing that I think is amazing about this, when we talk about this kind of stuff, and I'm sure anybody who is listening to this, you can identify, when we talk about the love of God, it has to go beyond our intellect. It has to go beyond our theology. It has to come into a place of our heart where it becomes our experience. It becomes our testimony. It becomes real to us, right? And that's where the rubber hits the road and the love of God comes. And I know for me, again, it's all, I think the things that Mark and I often, you know, of course we share and scripture and the foundation of the Word of God, but, you know, so much of what we share is based on how we are learning God to be a Father to us in the midst of it. And, you know, just when I came into this revelation, you know, I felt called in the ministry and wanting to do great things for God and you know, working myself to the bone in ministry, just trying to make God happy. But it wasn't until his love came.
Yeah.
And when the revelation of his love dismantled all of that performance and all of the fear of actually not being good enough, and that the Father just quieted my heart with his love, that I was actually able to come into a place of rest.
Yeah.
Where I would just cease from my own works, my own activity, my own anxiety, my own fear of failing, and just enter into the rest of God. And of course, that's been a process, and it's an ongoing journey, as it is with all of us. But, you know, my encouragement, and what Mark said, I just say yes and amen. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13 that love is the fulfillment of the law. And basically, you know, the more that you and I become convinced that we're loved, the more that love will take us to a place that the law won't take us, right? Yeah. Jesus said, no greater love is there than a man lays down his life for a friend. Yeah. See, love leads us to that place of laying our lives down, not because we have to, not because the rule book says we have to. If I knew a bullet was coming towards my grandchildren or my children or my wife, I wouldn't have to look at a rule book to see what is my contractual obligation to my family. I would, and I know Mark would, and I know you guys listening to this would, you would just intuitively, instinctively take that bullet for love's sake.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what Jesus did for us, right? For love's sake, he laid his life down. And the more that we become convinced of that, I think the more that love will lead us to into places that, you know, the law or fear or duty could never do. So, amen to that.
I mean, you know, we look at so many characters, you know, in the Bible, and see how love change them, you know, the early disciples. I mean, you know, those early disciples, those 12 young men, they were a disparate bunch of yobs, probably. You know, they were aggressive, they were angry, they were feeling the injustice of the society they lived in, and you know, they probably had a few, they probably had many arguments together because of their backgrounds and so on, but yet Jesus just loves them. And by the end of the 3 years, they're nowhere near perfect. You know, we see that right at the end of the story. Then they're not perfect. And then the story goes on after the resurrection, you know, and they become the foundation of the church. They're still not perfect, but love has transformed them so much. You know, I think of the story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, where, you know, he comes to Jesus. This guy has just been watching Jesus talking about coming with a childlike heart and, you know, taking a little child and, you know, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you become as a child, you know. And this guy, I think, this rich young ruler, he was offended by that. And he comes to Jesus and, you know, this is my kind of interpretation. He says to Jesus, hey, Jesus, that's okay for those poor people, but me, I'm a pretty important guy. What do I have to do? You know, what do I have to do? And, you know, Jesus tells him, you know, go and get rid of everything. Go and sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor. That was not the thing. You see, the thing that was the problem was his wealth and his position in society were the things that prevented him having a childlike heart. They were his security blankets, you know. They were the things that gave him his identity. And Jesus says, go and get rid of all of those false comforts. Go and get rid of those security blankets. And then you might be able to have a childlike heart, you know. And the young man couldn't do it. And he goes away sad. That's what it says in Mark chapter 10. This young man was given this choice by Jesus himself. And he can't do it. For whatever reason, he can't do it. He goes away sad. But in Mark's gospel, it records that Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, even in that moment when Jesus was rejected by this young man, his wise counsel was, you know, pushed away, Jesus didn't reject that young man. You know, he still looked at him and loved him. And maybe that young man was just walking away. Maybe if he'd have turned around and seen Jesus's look, you know, what would that look have been like? Perfect love. And, you know, there's an example of someone whose life could have been transformed by the power of love. For whatever reason, he couldn't do it. And he went away sad. But, you know, if only he'd have been able to recognize what Jesus was saying, then that love would have transformed his life. And it would have, you know, changed the situation immensely, you know, I guess. And so, you know, I think there are times sometimes in our life, in our struggles, we can't respond, maybe we can't receive. And maybe we feel a bit like that young man, that we just can't do it and we're walking away. But if that's where you're at today, I just encourage you to turn around and look at love and let it transform you. I've learned one thing over the years, and I've tried it many times myself, you know, that when we argue with God, there's generally only one outcome. He wins. You know, the question for me is how long before I let him win? You know, because I can struggle off on my own independence and pride and try and work it out for myself. Try, as Barry said, try and play it by the rule book. But there comes a time when I give in. I let go. And it's those times when we give in, when we let go, what we're doing is we're submitting once again to love. And allowing love, we're opening the door to love. You know, I think the Father sometimes, he just stands a little bit behind us and says, when you're ready, I'm here. you know, carry on, you know, I'll be right behind you. When you're ready, I'm here. I'm here for you. That's what we do with our kids, isn't it? You know, hey, you can walk this pathway. When you need me, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we submit to love, we're letting go and we're saying, here I am, Father. You know, just you have your way in my heart. Mm. And, you know, those moments, they take us deeper into him.
Mm-hmm. I thought of, think of Jude that says, keep yourself in the love of God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's all that we're called to do as Christians, is to, as sons and daughters of the Most High, is just remain in the place of being loved. And Jesus said, you know, a new commandment I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. So it's in that place of experiencing a real-time, 24/7 outpouring of the love of God through his indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That we can just be an outpouring of that same love. And I just, you know, I just think, you know, as we just transition into just ministry, even just that, would we all just be in a place where we keep the main thing, you know,
yeah,
you know, 1 Corinthians 14:1, make love your greatest aim. Your amplified version says your great quest.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's takes courage sometimes to let go. But when we take that step, it is actually coming with a childlike heart. And yeah, sometimes it takes courage, sometimes it takes faith. But just like in Luke 15, the Father's always there with his arms open. And that younger son could come home into the arms of love.
Yeah.
The older son was loved by the Father in exactly the same way, but he couldn't come in. And at the end of that story, the older son says, you've never given me anything. You know, I've worked my socks off for you, but you've never given me anything. And the Father just says to him, you're always with me.
Yeah.
And everything I have is yours. The older son in that story couldn't receive it. You know, and my invitation to us today is, let's receive that. You know, he's always with us. Everything he has is ours. And let's be like that younger son that steps into the arms of love, steps into the Father's embrace. And let's just take some time now just to open our hearts.
Yeah.
And let the Father pour, let the Holy Spirit pour the Father's love into our hearts. Let's just, you know, if you're struggling with fear, when I was thinking about this today, I felt like fear is a big barrier for many people. Fear is a big blockage. You know, if you're struggling with fear, whatever that fear is, just give it to him today. Say, Father, here it is. Open your heart to receive love. Because perfect love drives out all fear. You know, when light comes, darkness has to go. Light fills the space. And so, Father, we just bring our hearts before you today. And we thank you that you're loving each one of us right now.
Yeah.
Thank you that you're pouring your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Father, may we be people who respond to love. May we be people whose desire is to be rooted and grounded in love. May it be our heart's desire to begin to try to experience the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of your love, only to discover that it goes way beyond anything we could ask or imagine, because there are no limits, there are no boundaries to your love. Father, may the substance of your love transform our lives. That what we struggle with will begin to fall away, what we find find difficult would fall away, that you would lead us deeper into a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
That we would spend time with you, just being with you. That, Father, you would expand our experience of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That we really would become rooted and grounded in love, that we would abide in you, that we would remain in your love, that we would make love our greatest aim. All of these things, Father. And just like in The Sound of Music, when love comes, transformation comes too. Yeah. That you unlock the closed hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You heal the brokenhearted. You comfort those who mourn. You bring joy instead of sadness and sorrow. So, Father, I just ask that, yeah, our hearts would be open for love today.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
And, Father, we ask that you would just help us to see how beautifully simplistic your love is.
Yeah.
How naturally intuitive your love is.
Yeah.
How, Father, as we breathe, that you're breathing in your presence and your goodness and your kindness and your compassion. Just even as the act of breathing, your spirit is called the breath of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Ruach of God.
Yeah.
And Father, I just pray that you would help us, as Mark said, just to really get in touch with the little boy or little girl inside of us that still needs to be loved. Because the truth is that each and every one of us are the summation of every life experience we've ever had.
Yeah.
So as a tree has growth rings, so we have growth rings. And Father, would you begin even in this moment to pour your love into every growth ring of our lives.
Yeah.
Pour your love into the 1-year-old and the 20-year-old and the 64-year-old, Father, would you just fill us with the full measure of your fullness today?
Yeah.
And Father, thank you that the kingdom does belong to little children.
Mm.
And Father, we just want to come to you like those little children who just need to be loved.
Mm.
So, Abba, would you pick us up even now?
Yeah.
Wrap your arms around us.
Yeah.
Tell us who we are again in your sight. Tell us how much you love us.
Mm.
Tell us of our incredible worth to you and value.
Yeah.
Father, even in this very moment, that your love would come and imprint at a deeper level the glory that you've intended us to reflect. And that we would be transformed from one degree of glory to the next.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Just encourage you to take a deep breath. Just breathe in his love.
Yeah.
It says, in him we live and move and have our being. I just pray for the tangible revelation of what it says there in Acts 17 to be an experiential reality for us, Father.
Thank you, Father, that you never let us go, you never let us down, you never leave us, you never fail us, you never forsake us. You are the eternal Father, and you love us with an everlasting love, a love that never stops. Yeah. And you know the plans you have for us, plans for our good, not to harm us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah. And Father, we just pray your blessing on Barry and Anne for next week at the School of Ministry. May they carry your life and impart your love to just all of those participants. And yeah, Father, just in a fresh, new, deep way, that your blessing would surround them each and every day of that week. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us today. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. And look forward to being with you all then. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.